I know it's here somewhere.
Finally. Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in.
Enjoy the show.
Yes, as always, we hope you enjoy the show, and this is going to be one of the strangest Dr. Bill shows ever because I got nothing. I mean, I've said I got nothing before, but this time I got nothing. Well, okay, I got one thing. I got one thing I blogged this week. This week was a very, very frustrating week for me at work. We had a major, super major, incredible, big, large, huge, mega upgrade of our McKesson software at High Point Regional where I work, and I spent all week working on fixing things. We had lots happening. And so because I had no time at all between doing the regular work stuff and going home and resting so my brain wouldn't explode, I didn't have time to do any blogging. So there you go. No blogging. And of course, without blogging, there is no Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon show. So we're going to wing it today. Winging it can be fun, or it can be lame. Oh boy. Guess you'll have to decide at the end of the show which one it was. Yeah. Anyway, let's see. Where shall we start? I tell you what, let's go ahead and get the old commercials out of the way. If you'll go to the blog, drbill.cc, look in the upper right-hand corner, click on the little advertisement there for Go to My PC from Citrix Systems. I would encourage you to do that because you can get a 30-day free trial of Citrix Systems Go to My PC software. And you know you want it. Yes, you do. You should try it out. I mean, it's 30 days free. Free is good. I like free. Anyway, do that. Also, you'll notice below that there's the Shameless Commerce Center, a little clicky thing there. You can, it's called a link in computer internet lingo. Anyway, click on that, take you to the bottom of the page, and you'll see all kinds of things you can click on, including the great old big old Kindle ad. Which I want to get a Kindle. I'm really looking forward to eventually getting one. Yes, indeed. I want one so bad. I've saved up a little money toward it. So, hey, if you want the doctor to get a Kindle so I can talk about it on the podcast, why don't you go to drbill.cc, click on the little link that says money, and contribute some money to the cause of getting me a Kindle. Yeah, I know you're rushing to do that right now. Okay. So let's talk geek culture. I did find some geek culture. Now it's some geek culture you may have heard before, which kind of fits in with today's podcast. I'm a little depressed about today's podcast. I'm going to have to get over it. Get over it, Dr. Bill. Okay. So here's our geek culture for today. It's some audio from the Mac versus PC ads. Now, here's the thing. I have especially chosen some Mac versus PC ads that talk about the Vista operating system because I'm going to go into a rant and a diatribe about Vista in mere moments. So get ready for that. But in the meantime, here's Mac versus PC.
Hello, I'm I'm American.
My fellow Americans, I'm a PC.
Why so official?
Well, some people are giving up on Vista Mac because it doesn't work the way they want it to. Hmm. Other people are going back to XP.
Really? Downgrading?
Yes, but we PCs won't give up. If your printer isn't compatible with Vista, I say, buy a new printer. If Mac's new Leopard operating system has dozens of new features, I say, ignore them. Ask not what Vista can do for you. Ask what you can buy for Vista.
Wow, you're really committed to this.
Oh, not really. I switched back to XP 3 weeks ago. So much happier.
Next.
Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
Well, after 5 years, Vista's finally here.
Whoopee for the whole entire world.
What's wrong?
Well, it isn't wrong. I mean, my new operating system arrives. I've had nothing but problems. I had to buy a new graphics card, get new memory. Now I can't even use some of my software and peripherals. I mean, let's face it, this party's a bust.
We should do this again sometime.
Sure, are you free in another 5 years?
Ooh, I have an all-day meeting in 5 years. How about 5 years in a day?
Well, I've got a strategy session that day. What about 5 years in 2 days?
Hello, I'm a Mac.
Mac has issued a salutation, cancel or allow?
Allow, and I'm a PC.
Your returning Mac salutation, cancel or allow?
Allow.
Okay, what gives?
Mac is asking a question, cancel or allow?
Allow. He's part of Vista, my new operating system. PCs have a lot of security problems, so he asked me to authorize pretty much anything I do.
You're pointing out Vista's flaws, cancel or allow?
Allow. I could turn him off, but then he wouldn't give me any warnings at all, and that would defeat the purpose, so.
You are coming to a sad realization, cancel or allow?
Hello.
Oh, yes. A sad realization indeed. The realization is that Vista is lame. Now, here's my diatribe. Are you ready? Okay. See, here's the thing. Microsoft came out with Vista supposedly as a big upgrade to XP. Yet, as those commercials pointed out, what a lot of people are doing, they're getting PCs, brand new ones, and they're immediately taking Vista off and putting XP back on it. Or they're asking the PC vendor, please install XP. I don't want Vista. Now, think about this. A brand new product. A giant, super mega, huge company, perhaps the largest on Earth, decides to create a better operating system, and they come out with one called Vista. And then it turns out, not only does no one want that operating system, and everyone thinks it's lame, they go back to the old version. Now, I was thinking about the fact that XP just kind of works, you know, well enough for everybody. It's 7 years old. It's a seven-year-old operating system. I mean, that's terrible. And so they should have come out with a more modern, easier to use, better operating system. And what did they do? They came out with Vista. And I gotta admit, you know, when I got my new laptop that I'm using right now to record this podcast, when I got my new laptop, I said, okay, it has Vista. It has Vista Premium on it. I guess I'll give it a shot. Maybe I'm being, you know, hard on Microsoft because I'm not exactly a big Microsoft fan. And so I'll give Vista a shot. So I did. It was terrible. I mean, I couldn't. Okay, anything new, you're going to have to learn the new way of doing things. But the thing is, the more I used it, the more I saw that the new way of doing things was just lame. I mean, it wasn't simple. It wasn't intuitive. They had convoluted the interface. It was just totally lame. So I said, you know, this ain't working for me. So what did I do? You know it. I did an image backup of the system just in case I ever want to go back to Vista. And then, yes, I wiped the hard drive, all 160 gig of it, and I installed XP. Now, because it's a brand new laptop, I had to go find the drivers, but they were all out there. I installed XP, I installed the drivers, I got all the features of the laptop working, so I didn't lose anything. But what did I gain? I gained an operating system that's actually useful. I gained an operating system that worked with all my software. I gained an operating system that I could just use, even though it's 7 years old. Now I know you're saying, but Dr. Bill, why not go ahead and install Linux? Well, yes. Yes, I could have installed Linux. Perhaps I should have installed Linux. I like Linux a lot. But, sadly, This is the realization that many, many people come to. Sadly, Linux just doesn't have all the software that I need. Like, for instance, Podcast Station that I'm using right now to record this podcast doesn't run on Linux, runs on Windows. Many other various software thingies that I use don't run on Linux. Now, there are Linux versions, but they're not as polished, and they don't have some of the features that I really kind of like. And when you're doing a podcast every single week, whether you have to work all week the prior week or not, then you really want things just to work and be easy to use. So that's why I ended up going back to Windows XP, a 7-year-old operating system, very long in the tooth.
It's kind of an old codger, you know what I mean? It's just kind of going, yeah, okay, you hit the icon and I'll just go ahead and I'll go find that file and run it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So anyway, XP's working for me. Vista's lame. And everyone knows it. Now, Microsoft recently has started a few campaigns to try to get people to reconsider Vista. I mean, it's been out now for, years. And so they're going, really, we're not so bad. Please buy our operating system. Meanwhile, companies all over the planet are ordering brand new PCs with XP on them, getting rid of Vista. You gotta admit, this is probably one of the biggest debacles any company has ever had in terms of user acceptance. Now, Microsoft is currently working on what they are calling unofficially Windows 7, which will be their new operating system, and they're even kind of beginning to talk about the new kind of operating system that will come out after Windows 7, which will be totally net-centric. Work entirely over the internet. Cloud computing oriented type operating system. I hope they get Windows 7 right. I hope they get Midori or whatever it is that they're talking about for the cloud computing version right. Or I hope they die a flaming death and everybody will start writing software for Linux, and then we'll have an operating system that is safe and cool looking, because, you know, as I've shown you before on DrBill.TV, the Linux operating system with like a barrel interface or some of the other interfaces that have been written are just as eye candy cool as anything Vista has, but no viruses. It just plain works. What we need are the software vendors. So if you software vendors are out there listening, get it together, dudes. You know, it's like the old Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy admonition that answers to bang the rocks together, guys. Well, what you need to do, guys, is you need to bang the rocks together, get all your developers developing for Linux, because let's face it, Vista is lame. Microsoft may not recover from such a terrible operating system, so why don't you go ahead and start producing software for Linux, and then we can get on with our lives. Told you it'd be a rant. Told you I was kind of depressed. Yeah. Okay, so you might be expecting me to hit the Geek Software of the Week drum roll. Well, don't hold your breath, because there's no Geek Software of the Week. However, I can hit this button.
This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. TechPodcasts.com. If it's tech, it's here.
By the way, if you haven't gone to techpodcast.com in a long time, I'd encourage you to do that. There's a lot of things happening with Raw Voice Media, the folks that make Tech Podcast, and Blueberry, which, of course, speaking of Blueberry, I am a member
this
of Blueberry.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No ease. That's Blueberry, BlueberryY.com. Blueberry.com.
Yes, indeed, blueberry.com. Blueberry's got some things going on, too. Lots more podcasts have been added to the Blueberry Network, and they have released the Blueberry PodPress. PodPress, no? See, I got it wrong. WordPress Podcaster Plugin. getting all the right words and presses and pods and casters all in the right place is a challenge. One that I'm currently not up to because I don't care. So, anyway, WordPress plugin for podcasters. There, got it right. Anyway, go check that out, because if you are a podcaster, you need to integrate your podcast into your blog. And if you're not a geeky techie dude like the doctor, you may need something that'll make it easy, which is what that plugin is for, so go for it. I tried it. I kind of went, yeah, okay, looks cool. I like it, you know, but I'm just kind of stuck in my ways. I like doing it the way I do it, you know. I've done it for 140, however many podcasts. What is this? This is, I can't believe it. Dude, I'm shocked. This is podcast number 150. Oh, that's terrible. My 150th podcast, a momentous event, and A, I didn't know it because I've been so busy this week, and B, it's got to be the lamest podcast I've done in quite a long time because I got nothing. Oh, this is just not good. This is depressing. Man. Oh, well. Okay, let's go with our our one item that I blogged this week. Yeesh. At least I found time to do it. And why did I find time to do that? Because my brother-in-law sent me an email and told me about it. It's just sad, isn't it? I mean, I didn't even find the information on my own. I had to get it from somebody else. Okay. So, you remember the Star Trek movie, The Voyage Home? Yeah. That's the one that we Trekkers call the Save the Whales movie. Yes. let's not go into that. But anyway, one of the things that Scotty talked about in that movie was transparent aluminum. Aluminum. You see, they had this whale. Actually, they had two whales. And they wanted to take the whales into the future. So that means that they had to get them into the Klingon Bird of Prey spacecraft they had. I mean, one of the coolest scenes, I gotta admit, in moviedom was seeing a Klingon Bird of Prey uncloak in front of a whaler ship and scare the pants off of them. Ha ha! I like that part. But at any rate, when they found these two whales, George and Gracie, they had to put them in a tank. And Scotty said, I need a tank that's really, really strong. And yet, of course, it has to be transparent because we want to see the whales. Otherwise, why have CGI effects? You know what I mean? So, he came up with transparent aluminum. Actually, transparent aluminum is something apparently they use quite a bit in the 23rd century. So, he told the guy at the plant where they were going to make the transparent aluminum, according to his, you know, formula. He said, if I give you this formula, will you make it for me? Thereby changing the time-space continuum and making this guy super-duper ultra-rich. Gotta love that. Anyway, so that was in Save the Whales. Now, it turns out that the military is actually working on transparent aluminum. Now, how cool is that? Here we are in good old 2008, and actually this article, I believe, was from much earlier than that. Let's go look at the article, and I'll find out. It was from 2005, so several years ago, they started working on transparent aluminum. We're not even close to the 23rd century. Now, here's what I like about this. More and more Trek tech, which is hard to say. Don't say that very quickly. Trek tech, more and more of it is becoming ubiquitous, which is a very large word that means it's all over the place, okay? So, you got your cell phones, which are like the communicators. You flip them upward and you say, beam me up, Scotty, and Scotty ain't there to beam you up, and if there he was, there is no beaming technology. But, okay, you can at least flip it open and say, beam me up, Scotty. And your wife, who's on the other end of the phone, will go, what? Anyway, the point is, you got your communicators, okay? Then you got your diagnostic beds. They've already come out with these, where people can lay on the bed. It'll take their blood pressure and their heartbeat and all those kinds of things. Now, not as sophisticated as Dr. McCoy's, but hey, we're working on it. So anyway, diagnostic beds, they got those. Pad computers. You know what Mr. Spock used to write things on? They've got pad computers now. As a matter of fact, Bill Gates is very into pad computers. Of course, he's also into table computers. Yes. For more information on table computers, go watch the video on drbill.tv from August 1st. Yes. You'll love it. Okay. Anyway, so they got tablet computers. They've got little, you know, the little thingies that they would stick in the computer slot to play things. You got to admit, that's pretty cool because back in 1966, when they were making Star Trek, the original series, they had great old big floppy disks. Actually, they didn't even have that. 1966, they didn't have that. Dude, they had nothing. You know, computers were as big as houses, and only weird, geeky people actually sat around and messed with them. No humans had computers in their homes. There was not even a floppy disk. There wasn't even paper tape. Maybe there was paper tape. I don't know. But anyway, we're talking amazing. And what did they do? They stuck the little plasticky thing into a slot, and it would play something. Now you say, who cares? The point is, think about it. This was way before all the media that we currently have. And what does that little piece of plastic look like? It looks like flash memory, where you just stick it in a slot like in the old gaming days with the little dumb consoles. You plug into your TV and you stick the little cartridge in the slot. Well, this little skinny thing looked like flash memory. So there's all kinds of Trek tech. And then I just talked about last week how now they're saying they may be able to do warp drive eventually if they can find enough power to, you know, have the power to warp space and time to make it happen. Now, see, that's what the dilithium crystals are for. You gotta go find those dilithium crystals. La la la, which is hard to say with your tongue getting caught on your teeth. Dilithium crystals. You gotta get those, you see, and compress time and space and then have a warp drive. Ha ha. So, there you go. Did I mention I had no geek, you know, software of the week? I'm going to play the drum roll anyway. At least you got to hear the drum roll. I promise somehow, some way, by hook or crook, I will get some stuff for next week's podcast. In the meantime, this has been the official 150th podcast of Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. I'm sorry. I'll try to do better. Okay. You know, I think maybe I'll just slide on out of here. The doctor is out of here.